We'll read out a few more of your speckle texts shortly. 0433 98 11 16 is the speckle text number. Speckle cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast. And more of your calls on the open line. Thanks to Werribee Kia, Janan and Jim and the team. We'll find out whether they're still delivering cars down at Werribee Kia. I might give them a buzz and find that out. I presume showrooms are going to shut. But for those people that have ordered cars to pick up and get serviced, I presume that's still going to operate. But I might find out that for real. If you're in the car industry, give me a buzz. 1300 736 736 is the number. And Werribee Kia, you can still check them out online, even if you can't get down there in the coming days. Dermot Brereton's going to join me in around 15 or 20 minutes' time. But John Quinn, also, before I take your calls, former Giants and Essendon High Performance Manager, has been good enough to pick up the phone. John, welcome to the program. Thanks a lot for your time.
No worries at all, Dwayne. Good to talk to you.
It has changed everything for Olympic athletes, and it's changed everything for athletes in general, whether it be AFL athletes having a three-month period off or Olympic athletes now having to reschedule for the next 12 months if the Olympics is in 2021 in the same time slot. How much does it change it for your athletes at your training, and what do you think will be the... new guidelines?
In many ways, Dwayne, it's a relief. I'm working with a number of athletes, but one in particular, a young girl here in Sydney, Bendiria Boyer. She's qualified for the 400, so she's Australia's only representative at this stage for the sprint event. So we're trying to get her ready for that. And even on the weekend, you know, she's saying to me, it's so hard, you know, what are we actually training for? And it's very hard because in my belief, you know, the Olympics were always going to be postponed, I thought, but you can't say that. Well, you can't take a month off just on your hunch. But as I said to her, you know, right now while we're not training, while we're training rather, there's someone in New York that would love to train and she can't. And there's another one in London that would love to and she can't. There's someone in Rome who can't get into the gym, but you do. So I was trying to swing things around that this is your advantage. You're doing all this extra work and training, getting ready. Others want to and can't. So you have to just look for the positives well, it's been a nightmare. So finally they've made a decision and now we can sort of unload and get ready for the big games down the track, and hopefully I can drag another couple into it with her.
So how, and I understand the multiple states are now closing borders. Queensland government, I think, has just announced they've decided to close their border. So WA, SA, Tasmania has, Northern Territory has. So the world's changing by the minute. For these athletes who are trying to keep up with it all. And the preparation for a 400-metre runner is such that they've got to run. Now, I presume treadmills are going to be in vogue for most runners, but getting out and running physically on a track or on the streets...
Well, yeah, a lot of the advice we're receiving around COVID-19 is, you know, you're better off to be outside, and if you keep your social distance, that's all right. And what I've been doing up here with a couple of the other coaches up here in Sydney... is replicating what we would have done. So last weekend would have been nationals, and so we have done a time trial just gone for 2 days ago, and we were getting ready to do another one on Thursday to replicate what it was going to be like for them to have to back up. So now just, you know, this has only just hit, literally. Yeah. So it's a matter of now, okay, let's take a breath, and we probably don't need to do that time trial this week, and just get her ready for next year. We're getting ready for the Olympic Games in 2021, I think.
So individual athletes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, individual athletes, a lot of them train at the local track, which has to have requirements to stop a number of people getting down there and training at the same time. I mean, Landy Field is just down the road from me, so... You know, some mornings I go past Landy Field, people are jogging along the Barwon, and, you know, you look at Landy Field and they might, even at 7 o'clock in the morning, have 20 people there training. So if that's your local track, I presume you can't just go down there anytime you like these days now and train at your local track.
Yeah, I know. There's definitely challenges in and around it, but, mate, if that was my biggest worry, you know, it's a blessed world. So, no, we can work around track availability and things like that. It's not knowing when your competition is on. How can you hit a target when you know it's out there somewhere, but you don't quite know where it is? That's what it's sort of been like. And I suspect that's what it's like for the AFL clubs now too. Like, they had a clear target, now suddenly that's not there anymore. And what are they training for? It's very similar in that regard.
So the clubs... we'll have to motivate some players more than others to keep their fitness base up, because as you will probably tell us, you can't just let it drop off. If you're only, if you stop for 2 or 3 months, it can actually make you unable to play properly when play resumes.
Well, it's actually, you know, it's the club, but it actually comes back to each individual player here. And we're going to get a real sense of things like, and again, I've talked to my own athletes about this, it's your mental resilience, it's about toughness, it's discipline. It's all those things that, you know, the older generations are saying the younger generation don't have. Well, we're about to find out, I reckon, that they do, and they do have it in spades. And this is a real opportunity, regardless of the sport, but let's talk AFL, to talk about, like, setting standards for mental toughness. Like, you have a choice as a player. If you go away and you don't do the program that we set for you to do, know that somebody else is from an opposition club, and you're giving our advantage to someone else. Likewise, if you are going to train, that gives you an edge on everybody else. It just... It gives you a whole sense of a rebuild here, and it gives, it's one of opportunity rather than one of loss, because everybody's on the same page. You haven't lost anything here. It's just a changing landscape. So it gives you more time. The ones that I sort of think are going to benefit most from this are probably my old alma mater in Greater Western Sydney Giants. They've, you know, gone deep into the finals, along with Richmond, obviously, for several years. Now they get a chance to actually put in a bit more juice into the tank, which will actually advantage those clubs that have gone deep into the finals over the last couple of years. And so they're going to be less of a disadvantage of this than what you might think. So, yeah, it's certainly a challenging time, and it's one that every club would be looking at to eke out what's going to help them the most, I think.
Yeah, some clubs are allowing their players to go home to self-isolation for 14 days when they go from one state to the other to be with their family as well. So that changes everything if you've got 14 days of self-isolation.
I really think that makes sense anyway. You know, at a time like this, you know, none of us anywhere in the world really know what's going to happen with this thing. And the most important thing, it's not really a game of footy, and it's not running around on an athletics track. It comes down to your family and those that are close to you. So to be able to get back for a couple of weeks, and just let you physically unload, switch off from the whole thing, and then prepare again. It's just like having the Christmas break, and now we're going to start again. Take a breath and start again, and we're going to build towards this. Again, the hardest bit is not knowing, you know, is the season going to start again in May, or are we going to push it out until September, or are we going to scrap this one and go forward? I think that's the biggest one. But it's a bit like, you know, a player that's just... that it gives you an opportunity to look at, well, where are my weaknesses? It gives you an opportunity to look at what are the opposition up to? Look at your individual characteristics and what can you improve? And in some ways, it's a little bit like for a club when you've had a player that's had an ACL and you know they're going to miss 9 months. So you've now got a program and reprogram around them to get the most out of them. It's certainly going to be a challenge, but it's a challenge that every club is up against, and it's going to be a real test of their resilience.
Yeah, and what guidelines are they forced to have? Do they stop any activity at their club? Do they stop any player from coming down to their oval and having a run or a kick on their own?
I can't say what a club would do, but I suspect with what's coming in terms of isolation and everything, that a lot of these clubs are going to have to... train in isolation. And again, that's not dissimilar to what you would do in a break when they go away. But you've got to create a sense of group where everybody's accountable and they're all training and they're posting their scores and everything else. Keep everybody up and have new measures of what's the success here, whether that be a 2K time trial or a max intensity session where you can measure them remotely now with GPS and with heart rate, these sort of things. It may open up different ways of training that we hadn't thought about in this before. And I think it's a real opportunity to educate them around things around your immune system and how to get them up fitter and better. And things like alcohol are going to be a problem to them because, you know, that's going to expose them. But, I'd be looking at designing in-house sessions around heart rate and GPS and your running loads and what we call rate of perceived exertion and keep the players motivated by almost a virtual training squad, even though they're training in isolation, and bring them in for group meetings just like you would around the board table with like a Zoom meeting, and everybody's got to participate in that. And analysis of their own individual weaknesses, the club's weaknesses, the club's strength and what's going on in the broader world, and keep your focus on where you're going with this.
John, great to be able to pick your brain, try and find out from AFL clubs whether they are shutting their doors, because training in isolation sounds like it's achievable if you've got somewhere to go and train. But if local parks are being shut and you can't go down to the local park to have a jog or do your workout, how much does that change it for you if you've got nowhere to actually go and run on your own?
I agree. Well, Dwayne, it's going to be the next premiers of the AFL are going to be those that show the most lateral thinking and creative thinking in what they're doing, and those that on the list, as much as having the best skills and best talents and everything else, it's going to be those with the best mental resilience and toughness. It's going to be a real test.
Great to have you, John. Really appreciate you joining me. Former Giants and Essendon High Performance Manager, also training Olympic athletes in the build-up to Tokyo 2021, as it looks like being now. We're going to talk the games after a break with Dermot Brereton and take your calls. Michael, I know you've been holding on the line. We'll come to you shortly as well. You at Dwayne's World.